You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Bonnie Gordon.
And I'm Xander Genre.
And together we're
the Library Bards.
And you're listening to The Flopcast.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast episode 474
on flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Corn Flake.
Whoa. Hey, Kevin. How are you?
I'm fine. Everything's good. It's just you and me this week.
That's cool.
Good old-fashioned Flopcast with a good old-fashioned top 4.5 list is the plan. You know, just like the old days. We used to do a 4.5 list like every other week. Now it's a special occasion.
Yeah, it'll be glorious. And people will like it even better because absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, people have grown desperate for a top 4.5 list, and we're going to make them wait a little bit longer because Cornflake, first, what is National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
For National Whatever Day this week, Kevin, we have ourselves a birthday Bonnie.
Okay.
June 8th, Gaynor Hopkins turned 70, but we know her better as Bonnie Tyler.
Oh, nice. Okay. Her name is Gaynor?
Gaynor Hopkins.
Gaynor Hopkins. So she completely changed her name.
She did. I guess she sounded like another singer at the time whose last name was also Hopkins. Oh. So she's trying to distinguish herself.
Yeah, like there's Gloria Gaynor, you know, I Will Survive.
Yes.
And there's Thelma Hopkins.
I think that name sounds familiar. I think that's who she was trying to distinguish herself
from.
Yeah,
Thelma Hopkins was around back then in music and in sitcoms and stuff. Like, she was on Bosom Buddies and a bunch of shows back then. So, yeah, Bonnie Tyler went her own way.
She absolutely did. I always think of Total Eclipse of the Heart when I think of her. But that wasn't her first single.
Mm-hmm. Nothing But a Heartache.
Yes, yeah. I always forget that one.
That was a pretty big hit in its own. But then, of course, everybody forgot all about it once that Total Eclipse of the Heart.
I remember when you couldn't escape it. I remember when it was just constantly on the radio.
Well, the Hit Parade podcast I listened to, all about the history of the pop charts, they did an episode last year about Jim Steinman, the late, great Jim Steinman, you know, who wrote Total Eclipse of the Heart, of course. And on that podcast, they were quoting somebody who said that song was an extinction-level event.
Yes! That is the best description I have ever heard for that song.
It really was. And that was at the exact same time as Making Love Out of Nothing at All, the song that Steinman wrote for Air Supply, of course. Like, those two songs were at the top of the chart together.
What a time.
It was the best.
You know, she hasn't stopped, though.
It was 1983. Is she still going?
Yes, she put out an album this year.
Because I believe I remember that last giant actual total eclipse that happened, whenever that was, like 3 years ago or so, 4 years ago. I think she was booked, like, on a cruise ship or something, and she performed the song during the actual eclipse.
Yes.
Yeah, we should have been there.
That would have been so magical.
Well, I have never been to a Bonnie Tyler concert, but given the opportunity, I certainly would. And then, of course, besides Total Eclipse of the Heart, like a year later, you know, Footloose comes out.
Yeah.
And there she is again. And again, another Jim Steinman song. And now it's time for the big tractor fight. And she's holding out for a hero.
She's got that distinct voice, that husky voice. And
it's the voice. And that was Steinman again. That was another Steinman song. But this time it was even better because now Kevin Bacon's on a tractor.
That scene is epic.
Oh, I love it. We should watch Footloose again.
I agree.
All right, Bonnie. There's Bonnie Tyler. There's Bonnie Franklin from One Day at a Time. Bonnie Pointer, one of the Pointer sisters. Is that all the Bonnies in human history? Have I named them all?
Well, there is Bonnie from the Library Bards.
Yes, of course, Bonnie and Xander. Good one. Another fine singer as well. I guess there must be a bunch of them out there.
Yeah, I think we might be out of Bonnie's that we could...
That's it. She was Bonnie from the Library Bards was the last one. All right, we love them all. And especially happy birthday, Bonnie Tyler. That's great.
70 years old on June 8th.
I like it. Turn around bright eyes.
And have a birthday.
Well, moving on, Cornflake, let's delay this no longer. How about a good old-fashioned Flopcast top 4.5 list?
Commencing countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1.
What? 1/2?
The top 4.5 list.
Yeah, let's do a top 4.5 list.
The subject, Cornflake, literally, this has been on my list of stuff that we should do on the show for years. For, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years? I think maybe in part inspired by, well, a couple of things, but mainly last week we had our friend Kevin was here, other Kevin, to talk, you know, music of the 90s. And Kevin's podcast called Gleaming the Tube is about skateboarding.
Right.
They review movies in which there's a skateboarding scene, which, by the way, I just Turksted another movie to Kevin just a few days ago because the mayor and I just watched Foxes, Jodie Foster movie from 1980, and there's a lot of crazy skateboarding scenes in that. So I just notified Kevin, put it on the list.
Gotta watch Foxes.
Foxes with Jodie Foster and Sherry Curry from The Runaways. That's a weird movie. Anyway, Kevin's show is about skateboarding in movies, but I thought roller skating is a subject that's been on my list of Flopcast stuff for way too long, and so let's do it. The subject today for the top 4.5 list, roller skating.
Well, this is good, Kevin. I feel like I spent the vast majority of the 80s on a pair of skates.
I figured you'd done some roller skating in your time.
I used to have those Fisher-Price skates that you'd strap on over your shoes, and I used to do laps around the kitchen of my house, much to my parents' dismay. I also, man, it was the late 80s. I got for Christmas white roller skates with pink shoelaces, and Christmas Day, it may have been a bit cold, but the ground was bare, and I laced up those roller skates, and I skated all over Gosstown in them.
Of course you did. Did you have a roller skating rink?
There was a few towns over. I had to beg and plead to be driven there, but we had the legendary of Merrimack, New Hampshire, Good Times roller skating rink.
And was it sketchy and seedy inside, or was it pleasant and family-friendly?
It was family friendly until toward the end.
It took a turn.
Yeah, it did.
And that's when things get interesting, right?
But I guess nothing good can last.
We had our local skating rink was called Skate Palace. It was in Milford, Massachusetts. And that building is a bowling alley today, I believe. So no more skating. And it's just a big crowd of idiots going in a circle, you know?
I loved
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we all loved it. That's what we all did back then. Yeah, I did it.
Some of my best times as a kid were in a roller skating rink. Yeah,
and I feel like you on roller skates makes sense. Me on roller skates, that's hard to even picture, isn't it?
I can't.
I can hardly believe it happened myself, but pretty sure it did.
For whatever reason, I'm way more graceful on skates than I am just walking. Because I can trip over thin air when I walk, but I do pretty well on rollerblades. And in fact, when you mentioned this as a topic, roller skates, it made me want to get my rollerblades out again. So look out, world.
Uh-oh. Don't you live like at the top of a hill?
I do.
All right. So this might be the final episode of the Flopcast. Once the blades come out again. But I'm guessing for the most part, we're talking traditional roller skates today, not the roller blades. Although I don't know what's on your list. But let's see what happens. Either way, whatever. The subject is roller skating. You have a list. I have a list. Let's go, Cornflake. What's at number 4?
I picked from the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Kimmy Goes Roller Skating. Ooh. It's the season 2 opener of the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay, I probably saw it. I think I was still watching that show I think I bailed out at some point.
I can imagine you might have.
Good show, though.
Yeah, I didn't discover it until earlier this year. It was right around the new year I started watching this show, and I finished up with it recently. But the roller skating episode where Kimmy's been on a bunch of bad dates and Lillian takes her to go skating to get her mind off of things. They're in this, it is sketchy. It's weird. They're in the skating rink and they're skating around to, well, you know, Forever Your Girl by Paula Abdul, but also Let It Snow by Celtic Woman. It's in this episode that Lillian reunites with her old flame, Bobby. The whole thing is super weird and it's all on skates and I love it.
It's a very funny show. Maybe I'll get back to it someday because it's a girl that she was part of a cult. So she lived in a bunker underground. And Carol Kane is in it also.
Yes.
And she's great. Carol Kane from Taxi. And it's a Tina Fey show, you know, so that
she's magnificent.
It's solid.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. There's a new Tina Fey produced show that's really, really good as well, because we're currently watching this thing. It's called Girls 5 and then EVA. So it's like Girls 5 EVA.
Instead of 4 EVA, it's yeah. 5 EVA.
So it's a girl group. Or the concept is this was like a 90s like Spice Girls type of a girl group. And now they're reuniting. But this is another one of those Tina Fey produced shows, so it's really, really good. Busy Phillips from Freaks and Geeks, she's one of them. And Sarah, what's her name? Sarah Bareilles, remember her? She had some hit songs.
Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sarah, I don't know if that was a French pronunciation or,
nope.
or what.
It's Sarah Bareilles.
Okay. Remember, she had some hit songs.
She's not going to write you a love song. Yeah, I remember Sarah.
Yeah, Bareilles. She's one of the girls in this as well.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah, it's really good. It's on one of those streaming things. I couldn't tell you which one. If you can find it, you'll love it. So far, they have not been on roller skates, but we'll see.
Does it feel to you like every show finds a way to shoehorn roller skating into an episode one way or another?
Yes. Every show, eventually, they're all on roller skates. Yeah. It made for some very awkward episodes of NYPD Blue. But they got through it. All right. Number 4 on my list is, this is a Saturday morning show from 1977 called The Skatebirds. And I feel like we may have mentioned the Skatebirds at some point in the history of the Flopcast, probably. And it was sort of like Banana Splits in that it was like big, goofy, live-action costume characters hosting other segments with cartoons and stuff. But the Skatebirds, they were birds. It was like giant bird suits, you know, Sid and Marty Krofft style, giant wacky costumes. And it was a woodpecker and a pelican and a penguin, three giant birds. And yes, they were on roller skates, being chased by a cat also on skates. The cat's name was Scat Cat, no MC. So
I was going to say, this is back before his MC days.
This was before he got into rapping and DJing, evidently, just Scat Cat, voiced by Scatman Crothers.
That's cool.
So that's really cool. Yeah, the Skatebirds themselves, they were voiced by Lenny Weinrib, who was Time for Timer, and he was H.R. Puff and stuff, Don Messick. Voiced one of them, but it was just goofy. They were just giant, you know, costumes on roller skates. That was the whole thing.
I'd watch that. That sounds like a good time.
I would watch this right now if I could. I think there's only like some short clips are on YouTube, but the show itself, the whole show is sadly not available as far as I can tell. But then they would throw to segments like the Robotnik Stooges, which is a cartoon I definitely watched back then. It was the Three Stooges, but they're robots. Wonder Wheels was another cartoon segment. This was about a kid who had a super-powered motorcycle, and the kid was voiced by Mickey Dolenz. There was a dog cartoon called Woofer and Whimper, these two crime-solving dogs. And there was a longer version of their cartoon called Clue Club also, but it was another one of those Scooby-Doo-style Hanna-Barbera cartoons, but this was Woofer and Whimper. And then also a live-action segment called Mystery Island, in which some kids were trapped on an island being chased by a mad scientist, of course.
Of course.
Interesting thing about Mystery Island, though, is the kids had a robot, and their robot was the robot from Lost in Space.
Ah!
It was the actual robot costume from Lost in Space. They painted it blue and white. Then made a few little changes to the lookout, but it was clearly the Lost in Space robot. Like as soon as you glance it, it's that's the robot.
Wow.
It must have just been, you know, sitting in a warehouse. So they thought, we'll use this classic Lost in Space robot on our stupid Saturday show. And so the robot lived again as part of the Skatebirds. Giant birds on roller skates. So, you know, I approve.
Needless to say, I can see how that made your list.
Yeah. And even like years after I'd forgotten that the Skatebirds even existed, but then going through comic books, there'd always be the ads for all the Saturday morning shows every year in the comics. And then there it was. Oh, Skatebirds. Yes. And then it comes crashing back, you know? Yeah. You can see like the opening segment for the show is on YouTube. So you can see a couple of minutes of Skatebirds here and there. And you should. And hopefully if there's enough of a public outcry, maybe we'll get a fancy Blu-ray release someday. But I doubt it. That's the Skatebirds. Cornflake, what do you have at number three?
What I have at number three, Kevin, is the first thing I thought of when you suggested this list. Back when we were starting up the Flopcast, I was just getting finished up with watching a TV show that I really liked called Weeds.
Yes.
And there were a couple of seasons that I dropped out for, but I came back for season 8. But episode 5, which is called Red in the Tooth and the Claw, you see not just the girls at roller derby practice, but the roller derby coach, as it turns out. She's played by Jessica Sugar Kuiper.
I know who that is.
Who was on Survivor.
She was on Survivor. I know this girl from Survivor. Yeah, she was crazy.
Oh, yes. And I have two words for why this made it onto the list. It's... there was a roller skating scene, and the two words are naked skating.
Okay. All right. Good to know. I totally remember this girl, Sugar, from Survivor.
That actually is one of my all-time favorite scenes of Weeds after the kids have all gone home. Now we know what happens after the roller skating rink closes down at night.
If I ever do see Weeds, I'm sure that will be one of my favorite scenes also. Well, I'm sure that's the only naked roller skating on our top 4.5 list, I would assume. Oh, wait, except for my next entry at number 3.
No way!
Because I'm going from Boogie Nights, Cornflake. You know Boogie Nights?
Oh, okay.
1997 movie set in the world of 70s, 80s porn.
Mm-hmm.
And Heather Graham played Roller Girl.
Oh, yes. The fabled Heather Graham from Boogie Nights.
Roller Girl, and she was always on skates. And specifically said, as she was about to hook up with Marky Mark at the direction of Burt Reynolds, and she said, "No, I never take my skates off." Oh, my. Yeah, I remember I was in Toronto, strangely, when this movie came out. I wandered into a movie theater in Toronto to see Boogie Nights, and man, that's a great movie. I mean, it's really a masterpiece. Anyone who hasn't seen Boogie Nights, it's about porn, so, you know, adults only, put the kids to bed, but that's a fantastic movie, and I think that was the first time I'd really noticed Heather Graham, but she's just this crazy, goofy, you know, porn girl, and she's Roller Girl, always on skates. I'd never seen her before, but then suddenly she was into everything.
Right, I remember that.
Remember suddenly Heather was in, which was fine, she's great. But, well, she was Lost in Space.
Like, right.
The following year, they made the notorious Lost in Space movie, which I have defended in Dragon Con Classic Sci-Fi Court. But she was Judy Robinson, you know, Marta Kristen's part, friend of the Flopcast, Marta Kristen. The new Judy was Roller Girl. So far, both my roller skating top 4.5 list entries have a connection to Lost in Space.
Oh, wow.
And yet, I don't remember any roller skating ever happening on Lost in Space. That'd be weird. Let's move on.
Danger.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. You want to see some danger, Will Robinson? Let's get Dr. Smith on roller skates. Yikes. Cornflake, how about number 2?
I think you'll like this one, Kevin. I went with 80s Night at the Roller Rink, season 2 of Cobra Kai.
Oh.
So, it's 80s Night. Tori's dressed as Madonna. Robbie and Sam go together as Blaine and Andy, even though Sam wanted Robbie to dress up like Ducky. But if you don't see the two of them together and you just see Robbie, everybody keeps thinking he's Don Johnson.
Right.
And Miguel is dressed up in Johnny's old Cobra Kai red biker jacket.
That's right. Yes, that's when the red jacket came out, just like in Karate Kid. I felt like I was back at the Skate Palace in Milford, Massachusetts.
I have never gotten dressed up in a costume to go to a roller skating rink. I thought their costumes were really good.
Number two is, I had to put this one on the list, if only because the mayor of Chickentown would have strangled me.
I know where this is going.
You know we're talking now, Cornflake, from 1980, I believe. Got to talk Xanadu.
Yes, let's.
A favorite of the mayor of Chickentown, of course, because now we have Olivia Newton-John on skates. There was such a giant, crazy roller disco scene in Xanadu. Well, the kind of the big finale of the whole movie. They open their giant, magical Xanadu nightclub, and there's old Gene Kelly is out there, and Olivia and Michael Beck, and everybody's on skates. There's jugglers. What a scene.
And hasn't the mayor cosplayed a character from Xanadu?
Yes, she's done actually on skates. Well, not real roller skates, but she made like costume roller skates for her Olivia Newton-John costume. Yes. And then I actually saw at Dragon Con a few years ago, I saw a girl in that same costume, Olivia Newton-John, actually on roller skates. She was skating around the lobby level of the Hyatt Hotel down at Dragon Con.
Oh, that is really cool.
Which is one of the few areas of Dragon Con that's not carpeted.
Right.
And so that she picked out her spot, you know.
Yeah.
Took quite some effort to chase her down, you know, because she was on skates. I was not. I was just a creep with a camera saying, yikes, there goes Xanadu.
Wait, you're not on skates at Dragon Con?
I'm usually not on roller skates at Dragon Con. I probably should be.
I've always pictured you to be. Yeah.
Considering how much ground I cover when I'm there, maybe this girl has the right idea. The mayor and I went to a live production of the Xanadu musical a few years ago. Like, not on Broadway, but this was a little local production, and it was at a little place. It was at that Amazing Things Performing Arts Center, you know, so small room. We were in the front row center, and there was a ramp leading down from the stage down to the floor right in front of us. And the actors were on roller skates, and they would come flying down this ramp, which ended on the floor like 3 feet in front of us.
Whoa.
It was ridiculous how close we were, because they would come down the ramp and then immediately have to take like a sharp 90-degree turn so that they were not constantly crashing directly into me.
That is terrifying.
It was the most terrifying production of Xanadu in history. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Well, that's a way for a show to keep you on the edge of your seat.
We should also throw in as an honorable mention that Olivia Newton-John's co-star in Xanadu was Michael Beck, who you've also heard on the Flopcast, coincidentally. Mm-hmm. But Michael Beck was also the star of The Warriors the previous year. You know, that crazy movie about all the street gangs of New York. Well, you and I saw all The Warriors together, remember?
Yes, all in a row.
At a convention where they had a big Warriors reunion, so all the Warriors actors were there. Yeah, we met Deborah Van Valkenburg that day.
I remember that.
From Too Close for Comfort. Well, The Warriors were not on roller skates, but there was another street gang in The Warriors. They were called the Punks. The Punks all wore overalls, so they could not look sillier. It's like if Dexy's Midnight Runners started a street gang, and one of these guys is on roller skates. There's a scene where he's like slowly circling around on roller skates at a subway station, but he's in overalls and he's on roller skates.
No, sorry, you can't be scary in overalls and roller skates.
So Michael Beck, though, his two big movies were The Warriors and Xanadu. They both had roller skating. Cornflake, where are we on your list now? Number one?
Number one, a classic here. One of the best things I've ever seen with roller skating in it. It's when David from Sesame Street, played by Northern Calloway, is having this imaginary daydream sequence of roller skating to disco music in Central Park. This happened on Sesame Street in 1986. So when I was still small enough to appreciate it, he's decked out in bright yellow and orange billowy clothes, and he's doing all the trick moves with the, you know, slide your feet out and balance on your heels and switch one foot in front of the other and skate backwards and having the time of his life. I think it's what inspired me to be on skates, wow. Honestly.
Well, 86 was way past my Sesame Street viewing years, so I totally missed this. But I know David. Did he still have the big crazy sideburns at this time?
Yes.
Okay, because back when I was watching in the 70s, I know David had the sideburns. All right, I like that he kept that look going right into his 80s roller skating era. Is that available? Can you see that clip?
Yes, you can. And I watched it earlier today on YouTube, and the music and the joy of it is every bit as wonderful as it, I remember it to be when I was a kid.
Well, I am absolutely going to watch that. Good tip. I've noticed everything on your list so far has been like scenes and episodes of TV shows.
Yeah.
But I'm about to match you with a TV episode, because that's what I have at number one on my list.
Oh, tell me more.
I'm going to, from, I guess this would have been 1990, and the show Get a Life. Remember Chris Elliott's show, Get a Life?
Yeah.
Which I love. People love that show or they hate that show. And we're a house divided here in Chickentown, because the mayor, not a fan. But man, I love Get a Life with, you know, goofball Chris Elliott. He's a 30-year-old paperboy. There's an episode of Get a Life in which Chris scores the lead role in a local theater production called Zoo Animals on Wheels. It's a not subtle parody of Cats. Of a couple of things, actually, because there was Cats, and then there was also, when I looked up this episode today, there was also Andrew Lloyd Webber also had a musical called Starlight Express, which I've never seen. Well, I've never seen Cats. I've never seen any of this. But he had another show, Starlight Express, in which the whole cast is on roller skates. So for Get a Life, they mashed these concepts together into Zoo Animals on Wheels.
Whoa.
Chris plays a wildebeest. So it's just, everybody in the cast are these giant crazy costumes like the skatebirds. It's just the craziest thing you've ever seen. I love it so much. Zoo Animals on Wheels. Track it down if you can, my friends. Unless, like the mayor, you hate it. In which case, don't bother. Well, Cornflake, I think we're at the top of your list.
We are.
Roller skating, number one half. What's going on?
What hit the top of my list, Kevin, is a TV show that I only discovered last month, and I've already watched all three seasons of it. I can't believe I didn't discover it sooner. Do you know about the TV show Shrill?
Yes. I told you about this show.
You did? I forgot you told me about it, Kevin. I forgot you told me about it, and it came up in the Hulu listings, and I said, "What's this?" Well, now I feel like a total turkey, because when I discovered Shrill, and as I'm sitting there watching it, I said, how come none of my friends ever told me about this show? And I was angry about it, but you told me about the show.
I think I did.
So this is based on the life of Lindy West.
Yes. I read the book called Shrill.
Yes, that the show is based on. I absolutely love Aidy Bryant.
Aidy Bryant is wonderful. And
oh, she's brilliant.
Well, she's been on SNL for several years now, of course, and she's great there. But yeah, this show, now you really see her, you know, really acting. And she's the best.
She's my hero in this. And I also completely adore Lolly Adefolbi. I first saw her on Taskmaster.
So I've seen the whole thing, but I don't remember the roller skating off the top of my head.
Well, season 2, episode 3 was Skate. That was when Annie had been working as a freelancer, and she's trying to convince all of her old co-workers at the Thorn that she's got it made, but she ends up getting very drunk and begging for her job back. It's Ruthie's birthday party. I mean, this is a grown woman having her birthday at a roller skating rink with all of her co-workers from a newspaper, and it's a train wreck, Kevin, but it's an awesome train wreck.
I feel like Annie drunk asking for her job back is like every other episode. You know?
Yeah, that's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, great show. We certainly recommend it. I forgot about the roller rink scene, so good reminder. And yeah, Shrill is on Hulu?
Yes.
Okay, you can find it on Hulu, kids. All right, well, to jump to the top of my list, Cornflake, this is no surprise, and I'm guessing that this was not on your list just because you knew I had you covered.
Yes, indeed. I couldn't take this one from you, Kevin.
Well, number one half, and it's sort of been the theme of the entire year here on the Flopcast, but of course we've got to go to The Facts of Life and Tootie. Come on.
The quintessential TV skater.
Season one, Facts of Life, Tootie. Dorothy, Tootie, Ramsey, like Roller Girl, but in a nice, innocent, pure way. Tootie never takes her skates off. Season two, the skates were off, but yeah, season one, Tootie. And I think we mentioned on the show that the practical reason for having Tootie on skates for season one is that she was so little. You know, Kim Fields was a tiny girl, so that gave her a couple of extra inches to get her height up there with the other girls. And it was also just very funny watching her crashing around. And we've established earlier in the show that you have roller skated just in your house.
I have, yes.
And that's essentially what Tootie was doing. She was just inside the school.
Skating around.
On skates. So Tootie, yeah, certainly stood out among that crowd of girls in season one, obviously, because she made the cut to stick around. The roller skates did not make the cut. They were gone.
That's a shame.
But of course, we had Tootie for the entire run of The Facts of Life. Well, probably not a shock to anybody, but top of the list, of course, Tootie.
Right where she belongs. She is the queen.
Yes, yes, yes. Do we have time for a quick honorable mention or two? Because it sounded like you may have had one for us.
I do. And I didn't mean to leave this one out because it's the only one that's not a television reference. But okay. I more left it out because the film, though it was a Hughes film, was widely panned. And it was the 1991 Career Opportunities.
That's Jennifer Connelly's Trapped in a Department Store All Night?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
She was shoplifting and she fell asleep in a dressing room. And by the time she wakes up, she is locked in for the night along with the overnight worker. So I would recommend not watching the entire film, but just going to YouTube and watching the clip where the two of them are skating around a Target, because it looks like the most fun you can have on eight wheels.
Yeah, that's a good point, because as we were just speaking of, most indoor areas not conducive to roller skating, but yeah, department store.
Magnificent.
Long, long aisles, nice smooth floor.
I'm not known for breaking into stores, Kevin, but I might break into a store at night just to skate through it.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think we should. I mean, that's when the people aren't there. It's kind of glorious.
That's when the people aren't there. Good point.
Do you have any honorable mentions?
Well, my super quick honorable mention is just that practically naked guy on Bob's Burgers who's just always roller skating around town, you know?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, there's that one. But then what was killing me is not mentioning a couple of comic book characters. I just couldn't fit them on a list of only 4.5 things. But there's Dazzler.
Right.
You know, from Marvel Comics, we had Dazzler, who was a mutant girl who she could turn sound into light or something. She had these weird mutant powers. She was a singer, and she would, on stage, she would be on roller skates. Like, she put on a big roller disco performance and also was a superpowered mutant. Dazzler. It was Marvel Comics trying to cash in on the roller disco craze of the late 70s, except they were like a couple of years too late and it didn't work. But Dazzler was cool.
Yes.
Roller disco superhero Dazzler. We love her. And in fact, if we go over to our sister show, but first let's talk nerdy. Let me consult my spreadsheet here, because I know they did an episode about Dazzler. It was episode 2, week 2 of But First Let's Talk Nerdy. You can learn all about Dazzler. But the other roller skating superhero I thought of is sort of a notoriously bad comic book. 1983. There was one issue of a comic book called Skate Man. It's a roller skating superhero.
Skate Man.
This was created. It was written and drawn by Neil Adams, who was a great, great comic book artist. One of the, you know, just a legend in comics. But he also did Skate Man. Great artist, not a great writer. And when he wrote his own stuff,
it came out like Skate Man.
Yeah, this was the early 80s, and the character was a Vietnam vet who got into roller derby and then also became like a roller skating vigilante. And Cornflake, I have the comic here. I'm flipping through this comic right now, and it's just so... It's just dude wearing like a red t-shirt and white shorts, a mask, and roller skates. That's Skate Man.
That's how I dress to go out for skating these days.
And just on the cover of the one issue of Skate Man, he's just one leg is raised up in the air because he's kicking a guy with his roller skate. It's terrific. All right, well, Cornflake, anyway, there's our top 4.5 list of roller skating.
Oh, man, that was magical. Thank you for the suggestion, Kevin.
We did it, finally, after all these years. I've been meaning to get around to this, and I know we missed a whole bunch of stuff, so please, listeners, let us know. What's your favorite goofy roller skating stuff that we totally forgot to mention? Maybe we'll do some follow-up. But next week, however... Oh, speaking of Tootie, do you think it's time to get back?
In my book, it's always time, Kevin. But yes, I do think it's time.
All the way back to the backs of life. I think we're about due to move on to Backs of Life episode 4, I think. This is our ongoing project for the year, looking at every backdoor pilot episode of The Facts of Life, you know, featuring Tootie, although she was no longer on skates at this point, because if you want to watch along with us to prepare for next week's Flopcast, you want to watch Facts of Life season 3, episode 23, the name of the episode... is Joe's cousin, which is sort of a hint to what the show is about, that they were hoping to launch out of this episode. So Backs of Life next week. Be there. Meanwhile, Cornflake, get us out of here.
I could do that. Between shows, we're at flopcast.net on Twitter, where our handle is at flopcast, at facebook.com/flopcast, on Instagram even, the_flopcast. On Apple Podcasts, you can leave us a rating and a review, and we'd love it if you did. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
And just like Dazzler, of course, Sponge Awareness Foundation always performed on roller skates, and it was always a huge disaster. Cornflake, thanks for a roller skating themed episode of the Flopcast. Thanks everybody for hanging out with us. Meanwhile, everybody, remember, please be safe, be kind, be silly, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
We're the Con Guys, as in Comic-Con, and this is the Con Guys Show, coming at you straight from the heart of Hollywood, California, with the news, celebrity interviews, and fun-loving opinions to help fuel your passions. We are your ultimate insiders, filmmakers, writers, actors, costumers, gamers, panelists, but most of all, we are fans. And whether it's sci-fi, collectibles, comic books, gaming, animation, cosplay, or fan conventions, if you love it, we cover it. Your behind-the-scenes look at all things con.
Welcome to Dr. Geek's Laboratory.
Hello everyone, Dr. Geek here with a shout out to all the scientists who worked tirelessly to bring a COVID-19 vaccine into reality. And let's face it, creating something of this magnitude is a miracle worthy of Dr. McCoy himself. And now, Dr. Geek needs you to do your part. Remember, each shot is one small step back to normal, one giant leap to putting the pandemic behind us. We can do this. For more information, visit vaccines.gov to find your nearest provider.
Cornflake, it's the secret after show. Hello.
Well, hello.
I had one other thing on my list of stuff I was preparing for roller skating, and this is something so stupid that it did not even make the honorable mention list, but I happened to see this goofy old movie, just a couple of years ago. I think like the Turner Classic Movie Channel, sometimes in the middle of the night, they'll show very strange old movies. And I discovered a movie from 1972 called Unholy Rollers.
Really? Kevin, if I didn't know any better, I would think you were pulling my leg.
It's a movie set in the world of roller derby.
That's a little bit insane.
Not a great movie. Couple of interesting credits, though. The supervising editor was Martin Scorsese.
Whoa.
So this was right before he started directing his own movies. He was still, you know, doing behind-the-scenes kind of work. So this goofy roller derby movie, one of the greatest directors of all time, did not direct it, but did work on it. And even better for our purposes, the music, music supervisor for Unholy Rollers was Bobby Hart, as in Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart, the guys that wrote all the early Monkees hits.
Wow.
So this was just a couple of years post-Monkees.
That's pretty spectacular.
It's this little, you know, nothing movie that everybody's forgotten about, but then these names were just popping out at me in the credits. Like, what? Look at who was involved in this thing. And I met Bobby Hart very briefly a few years ago, and had I known at the time, it could have led to a very stupid, uncomfortable conversation just all about his work on Unholy Rollers.
Well, the best kinds of conversations, Kevin, I always say, are stupid and uncomfortable.
Like, this guy wrote Last Train to Clarksville, but I'm here to talk about a roller derby. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the T Public store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.